The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. Mark. Glory to you, Lord. Jesus and his disciples left the synagogue at Capernaum and entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." And he answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do." And he went throughout Galilee proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. 2 weeks ago, on January 20th, I celebrated the anniversary of my ordination to the priesthood. I will cherish the memory of that night for as long as I live. Lying prostrate on the cold stone floor of Palmer Church as the chanted prayers echoed around the sanctuary, then kneeling before the altar and feeling the weight of so many hands of bishops and priests bearing down on my head and shoulders as the bishop prayed, "Give Alex your Holy Spirit, fill her with grace and power, and make her a priest in your church." Singing songs and celebrating with family and friends. It was a magical night, and it changed the whole course of my life and brought me to where I stand today. Every day I give thanks to God for calling me to be a priest in Christ's church. But there are many people in this beloved country of ours and around the world who believe that I, as a woman, have no place in this pulpit or at that altar. Last week, the enormously popular evangelical pastor John Piper made news when he declared in a podcast and in a written article that women should not be seminary professors because it is unbiblical for women to teach men or to be ordained pastors. This sparked controversy and outrage among some Christians, but Piper found plenty of support for his views as well. The idea that women are unfit for ministry leadership continues to hold strong in many influential Christian circles, especially on the more evangelical or fundamentalist end of the spectrum. But before we start patting ourselves on the back for being open-minded, forward-thinking Episcopalians, let's pause for a moment. The General Convention of the Episcopal Church approved the ordination of women in 1976. And yet, more than 40 years later, we are still in the generation of firsts. This summer, the Diocese of West Texas consecrated its first woman bishop, the Right Reverend Jennifer Brooke Davidson. My alma mater, the Seminary of the Southwest, is under the leadership of its first female dean, the very Reverend Dr. Cynthia Kittredge, who preached at my installation back in September. And I am the first woman to be rector of St. Andrew's, a church with a history of over 150 years of ministry. In today's gospel, we hear another story of firsts. Jesus comes to Simon Peter's house, where he heals Peter's mother-in-law of a fever. This scene takes place on Jesus's first day of public ministry. It is Jesus's first miraculous healing. It is also his first interaction with a woman. Not to mention, all of this takes place in the Gospel of Mark, which was the first gospel to be written. What you may not realize is that this is also the first time that we see in the Gospels a woman minister. Mark writes, "Now Simon Peter's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. Jesus came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door, and he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons." So let's take a closer look at this story. Peter's mother-in-law is healed of her fever, lifted up, and then she begins to serve them. Now, this is often taken to mean that she merely resumed her household duties, as was expected of her, and waited on the men. But actually, something much bigger is happening here. To understand the full impact of this story, we need to know a little more about the Greek that is used here and a little more about the Gospel of Mark as a whole. In the New Testament, the Greek word diakonia is frequently used. That is the word that is here used to describe Peter's mother-in-law serving. Diakonia can be translated in different ways. It can mean service or ministry. Similarly, the noun form, diakonos, can be translated as servant, minister, or deacon. Our English word deacon comes from the Greek diakonos. Deacons were the first ministers of the early church. They were the leaders who were appointed to lead the outreach ministries, if you will. They were in charge of caring for the poor and the hungry in the cities. We still have deacons today whose calling is to help the church remember and care for the least among us. So from there, the church added priests and bishops to the ranks of formal ordained ministry. But it started with deacons. When Peter's mother-in-law begins to serve Jesus and the disciples, she is taking up the role of diakonos, of a servant leader, of a minister. In the Gospel of Mark, there is nothing more important than service. Jesus makes it clear over and over again that our faithfulness to God can be measured solely by our willingness to serve others. That is the mark of the true disciple of Christ. In Mark chapter 9, Jesus says, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all, diakonos of all." And in chapter 10, Jesus says, "Whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve." If we want to be like Christ, if we want to be faithful disciples, then we must humble ourselves and serve others. We must take on the role of diakonos. Jesus's 12 male disciples just didn't get this. They kept arguing with one another about who was the greatest. They asked Jesus to give them special powers and glory in heaven. perhaps because they were used to being served by others in their lives. They just couldn't quite comprehend what it was that Jesus was asking them to do. But do you know who did get it? The women. Over and over again in the Gospels, women are held up as models of faithful discipleship. While men doubt Jesus and oppose his teachings and plot against him, the women believe. While the temple leaders use their power for personal gain, a poor widow gives away her last penny. While the 12 disciples struggle to accept Jesus' commandment to serve, women are caring for and ministering to Jesus throughout his entire ministry. Mark 15 names several women and says, "These women followed Jesus and provided for him, and there were many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem." In other words, women were among Jesus' disciples, following him and learning from him from beginning to end. And what's more, they provided for him. Women bankrolled the Jesus movement. When Jesus was arrested and crucified, his 12 disciples fled, while these women stayed and stood by him in his agony. And finally, in all four Gospels, when Jesus is raised from the dead on that miraculous Easter morning, he appears first to women. It is women who bear the good news of the resurrection to the world. Women were the first apostles and evangelists, the first to preach the good news. Women have been leaders in the Jesus movement from day one, literally. On Jesus' first day of public ministry, he lifted up a woman and empowered her to serve, to minister. And on the day that Jesus was raised from the dead, he sent women to go forth and share the gospel with the world. How can we continue to lift up women and empower them to use their gifts to serve for the sake of the gospel? Amen.